Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. Mike Schaefer here, along with Brian Christopherson, Michael Brunts, and we are closing in on signing day in a hurry. Gentlemen, what is your biggest takeaway about where Nebraska sits right now as they head into the first of two signing periods on December 18th? We'll start with you, Brian Christopherson.
I think it's a little more anxious than I expected it, like, back in the summer, but I don't think it's a panic mode. I think, they have a class that's, are they in the top 25 now that they slipped into it?
Nebraska? No.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now, and maybe it switched on it, but it has a 25th now. I know they're 29th last night after the commit. But anyway, they're top 30 class right now, and I think can be a top 25 class at least. So I think it's going to be a solid group, and I think they've probably got a few guys that are very close or already in the boat that maybe has them feeling a little bit better than some people on the outside.
All right. Well, one of the reasons why that rating has changed, and they are number 25, Etava Malga Clements, the newest commitment, picked up his first rating by 24/7 Sports, which has him now as an 85, a mid three-star. That is where the 24/7 Sports has him, and then I believe other services have him even higher. So, Brunts, I didn't get a chance to let you answer. I'm sorry. Before we get into the newest commitment, what's your takeaway about where Nebraska sits?
I'm nervous but mildly intrigued. And
what are you nervous about?
Well, I'm just nervous anyways.
He's nervous by nature.
That's my general default, is to be nervous. But I think, where Nebraska stands right now, that they've got a lot of spots to fill. But it feels like, they're trending well for several guys. You just kind of look at Nebraska's board right now. You feel good about where they stand for some guys in Florida. I think, based on the returns from last weekend's visit weekend, I think they stand pretty well with some of those junior college guys. So I'm nervous because it's setting up for a lot of commitments that are going to be happening over the next, 5-6 days, whatever it is, leading up to Wednesday. And, that can sometimes go well, sometimes not. But I think, I suspect that there's some hand-wringing from the fans. But at the same time, Nebraska's in on a number of guys who are going to be making decisions, which good, bad. I mean, it's going to be an interesting next 5 days as they kind of fill up that class and kind of turn an eye towards February and really finishing things off.
Okay.
So nervous. I'm nervous.
Do you think nervous by nature would have better or worse music than naughty by nature?
It would be less, it wouldn't be as good a hip hop. I can tell you that. It would be lacking edge.
It'd be kind of an indie band, I think.
Yeah, it'd be like hip hop hooray. Like there's some question there.
Man,
I think they'd be kind of like the Shins. I don't know why, I just do.
I will. I'll accept that answer. All right, let's talk some Etava Malga Clements, shall we?
Yes.
Based on what you guys have read, what you've learned, what you've watched, if you've watched this film, what do you think Nebraska is getting here with Malga Clements, who the Huskers are going to play as an inside linebacker at 6'2", 218 pounds, coming from Diablo Valley College?
You can have it first, Bruns.
I think it's, you hear diamond in the rough a lot in recruiting and like a guy that's overlooked, but you dig into his film and he's got good film. He's got really good film. He closes well. He's got the background as a defensive back until he put on all this weight after he got to junior college. What Nebraska needs and what they were looking for at the spot was they wanted an inside linebacker that could play to the field side, who could cover in space and, also stand up physically to having to play in the box in the Big Ten. And, they had that, I think, with Jamoy Hodge. I think that Malga Clements his film is better. I mean, I don't think that's a huge reach to say that. And, you know, I think he's a guy that, because of his background, flew under the radar quite a bit. I think Nebraska did a nice job of jumping on him quick and really kind of getting in there and selling the opportunity. And obviously his coach was on board with what Nebraska was selling. But, you know, I think when you get to this point in the class and you're getting these guys that are kind of seemingly coming out of nowhere, people assume it's a reach, it's a developmental guy. But, you know, you watch his film, he can do some stuff. And I think that's really what pops out at me. I mean, there's some guys in this class that have great film, but I was really impressed from the time you kind of started that huddle clip with what he was able to do.
He's one of those fascinating, just like body changing guys still like early in college. And some guys, yeah, they get in the weight room and they add, you know, 20 to 30 pounds to an already big frame. His frame just completely shifted, it seems like, from everything I've read about him. When you're going from 165 was what he was when he showed up, and he was just under 6 feet, and he's grown 3 inches, put on 50 pounds. And his coach speaks very complimentary of him, says he's going to be, you know, about 225, 230, he thinks, next year at Nebraska. And everything we've heard about him suggests he's just that type of kid who's like, he's doing it for more than himself. So he's got a lot of drive, I think. And his film does kind of change your mind a little bit. I was pretty skeptical when I first heard his name and kind of saw, okay, there's not much going on here. There's not much activity. But then you watch his tape and you're like, okay, there's some legitimacy to what they're doing here.
Let me know what you guys think of this. This is what I wrote yesterday on our site. I think one of the reasons that I am intrigued by Malga Clements is that he gives Eric Chenander the sort of chess piece that he really hasn't had outside of maybe JoJo Doman. And Nebraska's so thin at outside linebacker, or have been, that you couldn't really utilize him in different ways. But Malga Clements doesn't necessarily have to be a guy that, you know, leads Nebraska's team and tackles to be a very valuable member of their defense. I think the way that you can use him in matching up against different offensive players across from you, that he could cover tight ends, he could cover running backs in the flat. You could even line him up on third and obvious passing situations as an outside linebacker and let him use his speed. I think his athleticism is a giant increase of what Nebraska has in terms of Colin Miller and Will Honus. And I think he has very good explosiveness and closing speed. And so I'm not projecting that he's going to come in here and take anyone's job immediately, but I'm very intrigued as to how Eric Chenander can use somebody that they really haven't had in the 2 years that he's been calling this defense. And it has the kind of athletic traits, and I'm not saying he's the same player by any means.
Whoa,
Nor will have the same level of success. But he has similar traits to Shaquem Griffin that they had a lot of success with at UCF. Don't worry, Brunts. I'm not on the Levante David train on this one.
But, I mean, the Griffin thing, I mean, it's given the background and kind of how what his background was. I mean, I think it's, you know, you're not trying to get the hype train too far down the tracks, but you can kind of see where, I'm sure when they turned the film on, they kind of thought, you know, we've coached a guy like this before and we've had a lot of success with him.
Yeah, and I mean, look, like Shaquem was 6 foot, 220 pounds when he played for UCF. And you got to be a little bit bigger in a Power 5 conference to survive. But even if Malga is only 230 pounds and he has a really high level of athleticism, I just think that it allows Eric Chenander to be creative. And for as much crap as he's taken for their defense, which has improved each of the 2 years that he's been here, regardless of how people want to believe that or not, it is true. He hasn't really had a lot of options to do things. I mean, when you sit here and you holler about Nebraska has to fix this and they have to fix that and they need to, you know, it reminds me of sort of Bob Diaco tried to explain this and he explained it horribly. But the idea that if you try to plug one hole by lining up and plugging that hole, you're creating another one in the defense somewhere. And that's really what Chenander has had to kind of deal with at times. Like, you sell out to stop the run, and your defensive backs aren't capable of playing one-on-one coverage, then you're going to get beat. You sell out to stop the run and you put your safeties in one-on-one coverage, they could get beat. So it's just different things that he's had to do. And I just don't feel like they've had enough pieces and enough interesting pieces to allow him to get creative. And I think this could be one that could be a lot of fun for Eric Shenander and that defensive staff.
The good thing is they're going to at least have an idea out of spring if he can kind of fit in or not. They're not going to have the full answer by any means, and they need to catch a break. They've had some guys show up and they've immediately been injured or they haven't been there for the whole spring that are new arrivals, and they need some of these January guys to actually be able to go all spring, and you have some sort of evaluation of, okay, this guy can help us now or he can't, or he has a long ways to go in the next 4 months to be able to help us. So at least they're going to know that with him. But everything you say, I agree with. I think he's a pretty fascinating addition that I don't want to go one way or the other really, but I just have an open mind about him. After the more I hear about him, the more I kind of like the possibilities.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that's the one addition that Nebraska has added since the last time we spoke. Where are you really locked in at this point? I mean, when you're reading our coverage, when you're seeing stuff from our network, when you're following along with recruiting right now, Brian, where are you locked in the most as you kind of follow what it is Nebraska is attempting to do by the time we get here December 18th?
It's honestly probably the wide receiver spot still that I wonder about, you know, and obviously there's the whole Omar Manning thing that's out there, you know, when and if he can be part of this class, we'll see. But it's still that position where they're so lacking in depth right now, and they have so many questions to me. This offense needs that spot to blow up. I mean, that's what's going to make this thing really roll, is if they can have 5, 6, 7 guys out there on the perimeter that are just headaches for a defense. And right now, going into next year, you don't know if they have a couple of them even. So that's a position that probably I get locked in. I like some of the skill guys they already have, of course. You know, I think William Nixon has pretty exciting tape, and I'm pretty pumped about seeing what he can be. But they need more, and I'd love it, even though I'm not a guy who gets stuck on the measurables too much with receivers. I would love it if they could add one bigger target at least.
Brunts, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm curious to see kind of how everything shakes out with the junior college guys. You know, Julius Coates decommits from Colorado, you know, shortly after an in-home visit with Scott Frost, and, you know, kind of what his situation is. You've had Nebraska host several other junior college guys, you know, a couple of whom don't really seem to have you know, a ton of other options besides Nebraska right now. I mean, I think when you look at the fact that you know, Nebraska, they've got the inside linebacker, you still need an edge rusher presence, I think, you know, in the next week or so. The guy that's intriguing to me, if he kind of gets the green light to join the class, is Jordan Riley down at Garden City, all 6'6", 305 pounds of him in Benton, North Carolina. So how he fits into things, what Julius Coates' situation is, you know, you've got Jamari Butler basically down to TCU and Nebraska after he decommitted from Tennessee. So, you know, kind of how they make those numbers work. I mean, it's going to be a lot of defense over the next week that we're going to hear about, but, you know, what Nebraska does in terms of prioritizing those guys as well as some defensive backs that they're also in. I mean, they're not in a numbers crunch by any means with 15 commits, but you can see where this class could grow pretty quickly if the dominoes fall right for Nebraska over the next 5, 6 days.
Yeah, so for me, I've kind of already written off the wide receiver is not going to go well for Nebraska next week. Outside of maybe Alante Brown or Marcus Fleming, you know, Xavier Betts isn't going to sign. Omar Manning isn't going to sign. Omar Manning, you're going to have to wait until February and then white knuckle his grades. Xavier Betts, you're going to have to wait until February and white knuckle his grades. So for me, one of the things that I think has quietly snuck up into this finish of this class is that they have a chance to really beef up defensively. And if they were to finish with Caden Johnson and Jamari Butler as their outside linebackers that are high school guys to go along with Blaze Gunnarsson and then Junior Aho, the 4-for-3 New Mexico Military Institute outside linebacker, that's a heck of a rebuild in that outside linebacker room, and you've really added some depth there. And we all know what Caden Johnson could provide and the potential that he has. I think Jamari Butler has a chance to really kind of be a sleeper of the whole thing. And so I like what they're doing there. And then if you want to go pie in the sky, Keyshawn Green, when I talked to Andrew Ivins on my radio show, I mean, he made it seem like Nebraska is a real threat here. And so with Florida State likely out of the mix with the coaching change, Miami being the other school, and Mom not visiting when he went down for his official visit to Miami, the door seems to be open for Nebraska and Keyshawn Green. They like him as an inside linebacker, and he's every bit the athlete that Nebraska fans have dreamed of having in that spot. Ivan said he thinks he might be the best linebacker in the state of Florida. Those are some pretty strong words. And then throw on top of that, I think they're going to walk away with Jaden Francois, too. So they're going to have four defensive backs from the state of Florida, could end up with a linebacker from the state of Florida, Caden Johnson and Jamari Butler, all of this sort of coming together late. And this was always going to be a defensive-heavy class, but these are some real playmakers and some interesting pieces. I think that if they actually pull this off next week, and the way that they're acting, they aren't a particularly stressed group of coaches, or at least it doesn't seem that way. It feels like they might be trending very positively defensively in this class. Now, as I mentioned at the onset, wide receiver is a whole other question mark right now.
The wide receiver picture will be interesting. Do you expect that you're going to see more names pop up in January when, I mean, you've got a much smaller pool to choose from, but J.J. Hester's out there still, maybe. I mean, what do you kind of see shaking out there, or kind of what Nebraska might do?
Well, I think they got to wait and see what happens with Fleming and with Brown. And if they can get one of those guys and then they can go hard after J.J. Hester and Omar Manning, that might be your strategy. I don't know, you know, how many new names are going to shake loose. And just from talking with other teams in the network, seemingly everybody's looking for a big-bodied wide receiver. So it's basically like every basketball team looking for a center, or every, you know, football team looking for that nose tackle that can play like Sue did in 2009. It's just one of those things that everybody wants right now. So the guys that are going to be available, it's not like Nebraska is going to be able to go in and scoop them up like it's a waiver wire in fantasy. So it'll be a fight regardless. And frankly, I mean, outside of Charles Njoku last year, when Nebraska's had to recruit receivers after the signing period, when they've had to do it in January, the names that they've had and the production from those players has not been good. And so Demarion Houston has a chance to change that. But I don't really think, I mean, outside of J.J. Hester and Omar Manning, I don't know if there's a lot of slam dunks that are going to be on the board. All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we are going to get into Nebraska's secondary for its future seasons and what Travis Fisher has been doing. We will also maybe discuss a little basketball and whatever else comes to mind here on Husker 24/7 Podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And we're back. All right. Well, we said that we were going to talk some secondary. Gentlemen, even including some of the guys that are planning to sign and enroll early, like Henry Gray or like Lynam, what do you make of Nebraska's secondary in life after Lamar Jackson? Who do you expect to step up next year in the cornerback spot? Because there's no shortage of names.
The first guy you think of is probably Braxton Clark. But it was also interesting near the end of the season. I think Scott Frost and those guys are really intrigued by Braxton Clark. But he was asked specifically about Clark kind of being the next guy up. And the Frost comment was more or less, well, he's going to have to fight for it. It's going to be a dogfight in the back end. So I think they feel pretty good about how that competition is going to drastically change that next year as opposed to what it is now. But it needs to, because, I mean, at the end of the year, they were kind of in desperation mode back there. I felt like Markell Dismuke was probably taking on a whole lot that people didn't even know, calling out the defense on the back end from the safety spot. I thought it was a good move when they put Cam Taylor-Britt more on the perimeter and actually moved Boodle to the safety spot. So I kind of like that idea. And then obviously, the health of Deontay Williams and when he can be involved again looms large over how that picture looks, because I know you guys kind of, I think, thought the same thing. Going into the season, we viewed him as one of the top five most indispensable Huskers and probably one of the better potential pro talents they had on this roster. And then we only got to see him play a quarter. And it was a big blow to this team right off the bat.
I think what the Williams injury did to Nebraska is really limited their ability to mix and match. And going back to kind of Schaefer's discussion in the first segment about, how do you kind of fit your pieces together to make yourself dangerous as a defense? I think Deontay Williams' presence was a real key in, being able to, maybe put DiCaprio Boodle somewhere different, or kind of how you use Cam Taylor-Britt. And when he was gone, you were really hampered. And, the other thing that you were kind of lacking was, and Brian alluded to this, was you basically had one guy back there calling the defense and Markell Dismuke for most of the year. So getting him back will be huge. I think one guy that also is going to have something to say in the discussion on the perimeter is Quentin Newsom. He didn't redshirt. He played a lot on special teams. He's a guy that Travis Fisher loved as a corner. I think a lot of schools are recruiting him as a safety, as a guy that was, that was kind of where he was going to end up. But Travis Fisher saw enough in the way that Newsom ran, the way that he covered to, say, you're a corner for us. And I think he's going to get a strong look. I think obviously Braxton Clark is going to have something to say into that. And then, you look at this group overall and the way the room's kind of changed in the last 2 years, they've done a really nice job of bringing in versatile pieces that you can move around and kind of find spots for. So, we've seen Boodle play safety. I think he's a natural nickelback as well, which is a place that he didn't play as much this year as maybe he should have. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. But I think getting Deontay Williams back and maybe getting that safety position kind of settled a little bit, I think will really kind of help other places. And that's not even talking about a guy like Noah Pola-Gates, who underwent surgery late in the fall and maybe to see what his status is. So they've got options. And that's going to be, I think, an area of great competition in the spring.
Yeah, I think it's the most fun part of Nebraska's team this spring. I think that you've got plenty of storylines, plenty of guys that have a lot to prove, plenty of guys that are going to have to fight for somewhere to play on this team. I mean, DiCaprio Boodle has been a starter for several years at corner. I wouldn't be surprised if he spends a lot of time playing as a nickelback or as a safety in 2020. And not necessarily as a starter either. I think Nebraska wants to move quickly with some of these younger corners. You mentioned Quentin Newsom. He's kind of the guy I would spotlight right now. I think Braxton Clark is also someone that, you know, has a great opportunity in front of him. But Quentin Newsom is someone they've liked a lot. I don't know if Brunt's mentioned Miles Farmer in there or not, but he's a guy, too, that he's going to have a chance to bulk up a little bit over the winter and then come into this spring and try to find a spot where he can fit on the field. None of this should leave out guys like Lynam or Henry Gray that are going to be coming on hard when they get here. And, of course, Ronald Delancey might be their best cornerback recruit that they have. He won't get here until this summer, but they have such an interesting group of defensive backs, and it's such a credit to Travis Fisher, who inherited probably the weakest position group on the roster when he got here. And there's a lot to pick from. I mean, you could fight over any number of positions that were in shambles when they came here in December of 2017. But in terms of bodies, he didn't have much to work with. And now they're going to have a full-blown competition for literally every spot in that defensive backfield. A guy like Cam Taylor-Britt is fascinating to me because I keep thinking he's continuing to get bigger. If he gets bigger again in this offseason, he's almost going to turn himself into an inside linebacker or an outside linebacker. And I know that there has been internal discussions about something like that too, depending on his growth. And so that's something to keep an eye on as well. And so they've got, you know, we talked about Javon Wright or Miles Farmer potentially moving down there. And then you have Noah Pola-Gates. One of the downsides of this for Nebraska is it feels like for back-to-back years, they've had some key freshmen like Noah Pola-Gates or Miles Farmer. You get nicked up, and they haven't been able to play as much as what Nebraska might have wanted or haven't been able to see as much out of them as they might have wanted. Javon Wright, another guy that they didn't get a whole lot from. So this spring is going to be a big opportunity for these guys to sort of announce themselves to the coaching staff as much as anything.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying in the last segment. It feels like this program has kind of been snake bitten a bit with their new guys coming in, and then they're injured for half the first year. And so it makes it difficult to form any sort of evaluation. And so it's basically starting at a guy like Javon Wright, for example. I don't think they know what they have yet. You know, I mean, it's going to be starting from scratch, as you mentioned. And he's really an interesting guy because of his size. He seems like he's made to be an outside linebacker at some point in his career and move into the box. But yet, you know, he's still listed as a corner. So he's interesting. Miles Farmer is the guy among the redshirt freshmen, along with Quentin Newsom. Those two guys actually are the ones I'm most excited to see if they can kind of jump right into the fray next year.
All right. Well, let's Brunch. Do you have any NBC? Do you have any basketball stuff you'd like to add after Nebraska's horrifying start, but better finish against Creighton this past weekend?
Well, I mean, you kind of figure that Nebraska was going to have to play against, you know, play against some adversity, and you got it right. I mean, it's basically what's happened to every Nebraska basketball coach through the years, where you get completely blitzed by Creighton right out of the gates. I mean, it's almost kind of like a hazing thing almost.
A rite of passage.
Yeah, I mean, it's. This team just didn't seem ready for the fight. And, you know, when Creighton always just seems to be so dialed into that game whenever it's in Omaha, I don't know what it is. But, you know, they played well in the second half. You know, Nebraska's going to kind of pick itself up off the mat. And I can step, you know, off to the side here for BC, who was at Hoops today. But you've got Indiana on Friday and you've got Purdue on Sunday. So welcome to the Big Ten.
Yeah, Fred Hoiberg sounded like a man like, well, let's take a shot at this kind of. I mean, he knows what they're up against. Indiana's playing pretty good basketball right now. Purdue, it's a problem weekend for Nebraska. There's no doubt about it. You just want to see a group of guys that want to go out and compete right off the bat, though, in that game and show they're not going to just get knocked down in the first round. So, you know, hopefully they can hang around. I am kind of expecting they might get the doors blown off in that game on Friday. They have had some luck in Assembly Hall, but this is a whole different squad. And I think this whole Big Ten season, which is about to begin for Nebraska, is going to be long and probably tiring as they figure out what exactly they have to go forward with into the next year.
I think one thing I think you have to maybe take as a positive, Thor is playing good basketball right now. And I'm curious to see, did he address that at all today, Brian, about kind of, you know, is there a bigger role for him going forward? Because it seems like, you know, when you're struggling with inconsistency, Thor's kind of the one guy that you can maybe count on over there on offense and defense to be in the right place, do the right thing, and maybe something you can kind of build around a little bit.
No, there wasn't a lot of talking about Thor. The main topic today.
Thor talk.
No, I got no Thor talk. I'm disappointed I didn't now after you talk about it. But the main subject was playing on Friday and then again Sunday afternoon, and sort of kind of like an NBA schedule this weekend that Fred Hoiberg is a little bit used to. He thinks the fact that they played in that tournament in the Cayman Islands and you had to play some kind of back to back games. So he's hoping that's going to help them. But as you guys know, it's such a grind when you get even like a few games into the league play. They're not that deep yet. But I'm interested to see how this team handles that, as, you know, you probably deal with some losing and trying to stay together and kind of stay positive about the big picture. That's, I think, going to be the biggest challenge for this coaching staff, is keeping guys kind of focused on that big picture. And also, I think guys got to kind of see it. Let's just be blunt here. Some guys got to see it as sort of a tryout, like show that I'm a part of this thing for a few years, and I'm somebody who's needed here. And I think that, nobody's going to say that, but I think that's definitely going to be part of the deal this season.
Have you guys watched much Big Ten basketball this year so far?
I haven't watched 1 minute yet.
It's going to be a knife fight this year. Illinois is significantly improved. Rutgers beats Wisconsin. Penn State wins over Maryland. It's a tough year for Nebraska to be kind of blowing up the roster and trying to rebuild this thing piece by piece. I mean, I don't know that there's a true elite team, because I think Michigan State's maybe not as good as everybody thought they were at the start of the year, but it's going to be every night just a challenge, I think, for Nebraska to hang in with some of these teams.
Yeah, it is going to be a brutal, brutal year in the Big Ten for Nebraska, especially with a team that has no size inside whatsoever to compete with some of the other programs that they'll be going up against. You look at Penn State, lost by 30 to Ohio State, and turn around and they won the other night against Maryland. And so,
yeah.
That was a good Penn State team that had the doors blown off of it by Ohio State. I hate to say this, but I think there's going to be a lot of lopsided, ugly losses in Nebraska's future in Big Ten play, because they don't have the horses and they don't have the size. But if on nights where they shoot well, they'll give Nebraska an opportunity and to steal a couple wins every now and then. But it's going to be rougher than I think people even envisioned, even those of us that might have been pessimistic in May about where this thing was headed with a turned over roster. All right, I want to leave the listeners with one final thing. After just, you know, really going heavy on how bad Nebraska basketball is, each of us will pick one player that we feel strongly will commit to Nebraska and sign on December 18th.
Oh,
I will,
man,
let you guys fight over which one of you can go first. No one can choose the same player.
Oh, man. Promise, go.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
All right.
Look at this. Tepid. This is the opposite of Big Ten.
I don't want to
fight right here.
I am. I'm dipping like one big toe in the water. That's all.
All right. I will go. I think Marcus Fleming, the wide receiver out of Miami. I think he's going to end up in this class. It's not the big-bodied wide receiver that everybody wants. You're going to have to settle for one of the fastest wide receivers in Florida instead at 5'10", 160. So my apologies, but I think he's going to be the guy that will end up in this class for Nebraska out of their old stomping grounds in Florida.
Okay. I'm going to you can bat this down because you might have better intel of late. But I, you know that I don't always jump on the crystal ball. But I did jump on my man Julius Coates. Can I ride with that, or should I have reason to say no? No, because I mean that's the guy I kind of want to ride with.
All right. Well, you can ride with Julius Coates.
All right. I'm going to. It's my party. You're right.
The only thing that I would caution there is I have absolutely no idea what it is Nebraska is doing with junior college defensive linemen at this point. So anything is possible, but I do think Julius Coates is the number one guy on the board as far as they look at junior college defensive linemen. And I think if the door is open, he would absolutely commit and sign to Nebraska. And he may have already committed and has just been, you know, quiet about it. So,
so you're suggesting he's a silent commit, Mike?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It's a possibility. That's all I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
All right. Huh. I will I'll finish with this. I am going to predict Jaden Francois. It's a Nebraska-Miami battle. I just think that there's something that tells me that Nebraska feels like they're getting one of these defensive backs. They felt that for a while. But Francois is still going to visit Miami this weekend. They're going to get one more chance, but I think he's going to choose to play with his boys, Henry Gray and Ronald Delancey, in the Nebraska defensive backfield. So Jaden Francois for me.
He has a cool name, too.
He does have a cool name.
And once again, we do a podcast and something in downtown Lincoln is closing. Farewell, spicy chicken from Lazari's, huh, at 2 a.m.
I don't know if Brunch likes Lazari's. I think BC and I do. But that was my favorite pizza spot downtown. So I'm a little bit disappointed. I haven't been going as often as I used to. But
well, you're part of the problem.
Well, what can I
do? Maybe if you went more.
I live out here in suburban Lincoln. How can I get to downtown?
Are the Euro shops still open, or have we lost those two now? Is that the next?
They're on the shopping block. They're next.
Yeah. They're actually expanding. Like you've got a couple of them down in like 27th and Pine Lake now.
Well, you see they're leaving downtown. Downtown's going to become a ghost town. There's just going to be nothing on O Street anymore.
Well, where are people going to go? Where is South Lincoln? Where is Washboard Guy going to perform? Is he still there, by the way?
I don't know. I haven't been on O Street in years, and I'd like to keep it that way.
Well, no, I think the three of us should hit the town on one of those Thursday nights. Is Thursday night still in?
I don't know. This is the oldest, saddest podcast ever.
The three of us stroll into Iguanas and just see what the looks we get.
That's the oldest the oldest thing you could possibly say is Thursday night still Thursday night? That's a good question.
Thursday night is for football. Enjoy your Ravens Jets. I don't know if anyone will listen to this before that game happens. All right, gentlemen, it is time to conclude. We'll be back with another podcast, hopefully before signing day. And then, of course, we'll recap everything that happens for Nebraska on signing day and more on Husker 24/7.